We're going to be in Mark chapter 4 as we continue our study of Mark today, and we're going to be looking together at a famous story that Jesus tells here. So I'll invite you to turn to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 today. And as you're turning there, there's a story that's kind of made the rounds about Franklin Roosevelt, who apparently was getting tired of the long receiving lines that he would have to endure at the White House. There would often be lots of guests, and people would all have to come through and shake his hand. And it's not that Roosevelt was not an outgoing person. He liked being with people. The problem was he felt that as he said something to those who came through the line, they never listened. It was just a formality. And so one day, Roosevelt decided to conduct a little test and to see if anybody, in fact, listened to anything he said when they shook his hand. So there was an event going on at the White House. A lot of foreign dignitaries and important people were lined up to greet the president. And as they each filed by to shake his hand, he decided he would say to them, each in turn, "I killed my grandmother today." To which the guests in line responded, "Marvelous! Wonderful job! Keep up the good work." Proof that they weren't listening to a word he said. Until he got to the last one in line. This was, according to the story, the ambassador from Bolivia. When Roosevelt leaned in and said, "I killed my grandmother today," the ambassador, without skipping a beat, said, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." But we all know that feeling of not being heard, of saying things, but not feeling that anyone has listened. And if you have children, you certainly know that experience. You look right at them. You tell them exactly what they need to hear. And you can just see through the look on their face that it went in one ear and out the other. Maybe it's an employee at work or a coworker or just somebody you've been trying to get through to, and they just can't, they don't listen. It's frustrating. And here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been declaring the most important message the world has ever heard. He has come to declare that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the blessings of forgiveness and new life and hope in God and the eternal reign of God, they're here. And the question is, who's paying any attention? Let's find out. Look at verse 1. It says, "Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land." So this crowd that follows Jesus continues to grow, and more people are coming out. It's described here as being very large, and Jesus needs to get a little bit of distance so that he can actually speak and be heard. So he gets into this boat that it looks like he had set to go in chapter 3, he's now going to use, and pushes it out from shore, which gives him that little distance between him and the crowd. It also allows his voice to project better off the surface of the water. I'm assuming that it was a calm day. It would have been quite a scene if he had gotten a little rocking in that boat and just tumbled over the side or something like that. That wouldn't have gone well. But he's now speaking from the boat. And it says in verse 2, "He was teaching them many things in parables." In parables. So he likes to tell these stories. We call these stories parables. And they usually are about everyday kind of people, everyday kind of events, farmers and landowners and fathers and sons and shepherds and travelers and widows. And oftentimes Jesus uses a parable to make a point that he's trying to clarify. So when somebody asks him, "Who's my neighbor?" he tells the story of the Good Samaritan because that helps clarify this idea of, well, who our neighbor ought to be, or when he's explaining the forgiveness of God for sinners. He tells the story of the prodigal son who wandered far from home and came back and was received again by his father. So oftentimes these parables make the point clear because they put it in a way that everybody can understand. But not all of the parables bring clarification. In fact, some of them do the opposite. Some of these parables raise more questions than they answer. Some of them leave us confused or uncertain about what Jesus is trying to say. N.T. Wright describes the parables as dreams. Think about some of the dreams that you read about, maybe in the Old Testament, whether it's Pharaoh's dreams about the fat cows and the lean cows, or Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. They're kind of strange stories, aren't they? And they need some sort of interpretation to be understood. And some of these parables Jesus tells are almost dreamlike. They announce something prophetic, something subversive, something controversial. If Jesus had just come right out and said what he was saying, it may not go over real well. He puts it into these parables, and he's now wondering, how are people going to react? What's the response going to be? And so that leads us to this parable that he tells in verses 3 through 9. Look there with me. He says, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And then in verse 9, Jesus announces the benediction. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Maybe you thought I was finished. Maybe you hoped I was finished. But Jesus was finished. That's what he said. That was his story. And there's a big gap between verse 9 and verse 10. Because by the time we get to verse 10, it says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. It's incredible to think that Jesus ended there. What's going on? What's he trying to do? What happened to all those people? Well, most of them left. Most of them went home. Most of them probably scratched their heads and said, "We came all the way here for this?" But look now at what Jesus does. When he's alone, verse 10, those around him in the 12 asked him about the parables. Verse 11 says, he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Okay, now this is getting a little more confusing, isn't it? This isn't clarifying the matter. This is making it more complicated, more difficult to understand. He's quoting Isaiah 6, and it's a troubling message. Jesus is saying that some will only hear the parables as stories about seeds, about sowers, about soils. They're not going to understand the meaning. But others are going to see, and they're going to believe, and they're going to find forgiveness. And what makes the difference? Why do some come for answers while others turn away, having not really listen? Well, that's the whole point of the parable. The parable is about the parable. Jesus announced this is the greatest news the world's ever received. He's sown the seed, and now he's waiting to see how the crowd responds. Now he offers the explanation. Look at verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Only some are going to truly listen. Only some are going to really hear and receive what Jesus is saying. And the rest, he says, don't respond. Or they respond just briefly and then turn away. And if we're going to get to the heart of Jesus' message here, we need to look at the big picture. That's what we're trying to do in this study of Mark. We want to get the context as we work through this entire gospel. And I'm going to have you look now at some key words. Look ahead at verse 24. We'll get this again next time, but I want you to see it now. He says in verse 24, he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you hear. These seeds being sown are the word of God. That is, it is something that we hear. It's something we listen to. And each type of soil is distinguished in Jesus' explanation by the way that it hears this word. Twice in this chapter, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he started the whole thing off. Remember in verse 3? How does Jesus begin his parable? He says, listen. Listen. Something is important here about listening. Now, I read recently that $200 billion is spent every year in the United States in marketing. There are 45 companies in the U.S. that have a marketing budget of more than $1 billion a year. That's what they spend to market each year here in the U.S. Now, what this says to me is that if you want to get your message heard, you better have a lot of money. And, you know, the internet helps solve some of the problem of distribution. You can get your message available to anybody in the world. The challenge, of course, is what it's always been, and that is getting people to listen. Who's actually paying any attention? Because it's your attention that is so valuable. Whether you recognize it or not, it's your attention that the world wants the most. So be aware of how you steward it. Businesses want your money. We all know that. But before they can get your money, they want to capture your ears. They want to capture your attention. And Jesus' message of the kingdom of God is aiming much deeper than anything else that the world might be aiming for. I mean, not the world. Businesses, you know, they want your pocketbook. Jesus wants much more than that. He wants your heart. There's a lot of things that keep our heart's attention away from him. And here in this parable, there are six things Jesus lists that keep our attention away from listening to the message of Jesus. First one he mentions there is the one that affects the seed that falls along the road. This is the devil. He says the devil snatches up the seed before it can even get a chance. And we know the devil's a defeated enemy, but he still causes a whole lot of harm by pulling down those he can. his first line of defense is to keep this word from ever really reaching your ears, from ever really having an impact. I was encouraged yesterday when I saw in the newspaper the article about Saturate Toledo. Maybe some of you saw that in the religion section. The goal of Saturate Toledo is to put a door hanger on every door in the city containing a copy of the Jesus video, the Four Spiritual Laws, and information about local churches. And Saturate is this ministry that's working throughout the whole United States. They want to get this to every household in America, 60 million households. And they're well on their way. We've got a whole pallet full of stuff to distribute. It's over at Dwelling Place. All our area churches are working together to knock out our zip code. And we'll be doing this probably in March is our plan here for this local area. And I'm thinking about that as that's scattering the seed. You know, that sower just throws out that seed wherever it goes. And some of it's going to fall on the road. Some of it's going to end up in somebody's bush or gutter, I don't know, but it's being spread. And I'm sure the devil's like this bird who's just going along trying to snatch up as many of those tracks and Jesus videos as possible, but let's just make sure he can't gobble up all of them. We'll keep ahead of the pace, and so many are going to be receiving, and so let's pray that the devil not hinder the sowing of the seed through Saturate Toledo. Another thing that hinders, though, is tribulation. Tribulation, Jesus says that this will cause some who have at first started to show signs of response to then wither and turn away. I see this happen so often. Times get tough. Somebody faces a hard spot of testing or of suffering or of struggle. And, you know, some lean into Jesus and some fall away. I wish I could explain why. But the test of faith proves where the heart is. And for many, tribulation takes a great toll. Jesus also mentions persecution as a problem. Persecution is the third thing that causes some to not hear and to receive. And you know, we're not really familiar with persecution right now. But it may be coming in the not so distant future. In case you haven't noticed, there is certainly a new morality being unleashed on our land, and the rules tend to be very legalistic. The high priests of this new morality are working hard to iron out their doctrines and to figure out how they'll enforce their new rules, but you can rest assured they are progressing quickly. Some traditional career paths are no longer open to those who hold a biblical worldview, holding to biblical convictions about things like the sanctity of life or a traditional view of sexuality is not permissible in certain fields. And if you don't conform to the new dogma, you may be required to pay a price. Persecution is something that we have not seen much of, but may have to deal with in the future. Jesus warned us to count the cost. And a fourth problem of Jesus' warning here is what he calls the cares of the world. Cares of the world. And this is where he really starts hitting home, I think, for us in our lives right now. If you think about the fact that $200 billion is being spent this year on making us want what the world offers, the cares of this world are screaming at us for a response. And there's so much I could have. It's really just a small step to think, well, then I should have it, or why don't I have it? And so these cares of this world begin to mount in our hearts, and it's very closely connected to the fifth thing that Jesus warns us about here, which is the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Because money is the means that we feel we have to fulfill the cares of the world. And how much money is enough? It's always a little more than you have. Which is why riches are so deceitful. Riches exact an ever-increasing toll on our hearts, a toll that will never be fully paid. So Jesus warns us. He says, you can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, you'll be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And of course, we're all tempted to not believe that. We're all tempted to think, well, that's a warning for others. I think I'm strong enough. I think I can do better. It won't get my dependence out of alignment. Surely I'm the exception. And that, of course, is what Jesus means by the deceitfulness of riches. And finally, I think he kind of sums up the whole list with number 6, the desire for other things. The desire for other things. And these are the desires for things that don't relate to God. Doesn't mean it's wrong to desire good things, joyful things, to pursue pleasures that are good for us. And Jesus celebrates goodness of all kinds, but the key word here is other. It's the other than what God desires for us. It's things other than God's will or God's design or God's purpose. It's the other that undermines the gospel. So the ability to listen, to really listen, may just be the greatest skill of all. And the voice that we must tune our ear to most is the voice of Jesus. I'm not going to drag this out further. I'm just going to emphasize one more time, in case you weren't listening earlier. The central challenge Jesus gives us here in Mark chapter 4 is stated in verse 24. Pay attention to what you hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as he stood there in that boat and faced the crowd that day, the first word from his mouth was, listen. I hope you hear. I hope you lean in. I hope you take to heart what Jesus has to say. This offer of forgiveness and new life in him. The greatest message ever spoken. Can you hear it? Will you receive it? Father, I thank you for giving us this word. I thank you that this word will never fail. But I pray that we will hear it, that we'll be attentive to it, that we will receive it, and that we will walk it out. Lord, there's always a temptation to think, boy, I wish somebody else was hearing this right now. But Lord, we need to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to listen to your voice. Help me not to be choked out by the cares of this world, the desires of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, the fear of tribulation or persecution. Lord, I pray that the devil will not snatch up your word, but that many will come to faith in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.